Amen. Y'all give Potter's Wheel a big welcome.
Amen. It's good to be with you today. Anybody looking forward to serving the Lord today? Amen. Just praising Him a little bit. Is there anybody here? We got Hello. Some back there, a couple. Is anybody ready to worship the Lord today? All right. All right. Hey, man, it's good to be with you guys. And we just love the Lord and love being here. We've always been very welcome here, and we just appreciate you guys having us here. Amen. Hopefully we'll sing or say something that'll bless you all. I'm going to let the glory roll when the road is called in glory. I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm going to get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I don't know why I become a little shy when I get around a whole lot of people. And I can't figure out why I never can shout about the love that floods my soul. I must confess I can't express the feelings deep inside me. The things I know and cannot show one day will overflow. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the road is calling glory. I'm gonna get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I pass the clouds and shout so loud, it may sound like thunder. And my tear-filled eyes will fill the sky until it looks like rain. As I leave this world and pass the gates of pearl, stand before the Savior, I'll let my soul let the glory roll, and from the roll it calls my name. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is calling glory. I'm gonna get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the road is calling glory. I'm gonna get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away.
Amen. That's not a good song
We've
to start
We've never started with that song.
There's no time to breathe in
I
that song.
I tell you what, you got
to
have some air.
Wait, wasn't ready.
You hear the ones complaining, right?
We're not complaining.
Who had to sing the verses?
The chorus is faster than the verses,
we're
I think.
We're not complaining. We're just praising.
That's right. Through breathy. Trying to breathe.
Oh, me. Amen. Who's ready to get beside the Lord?
Amen.
Boy, I'm looking forward to
it. We can't get excited about the Lord. What can we get excited about?
I can't wait to get beside Him and just hang out there all day.
Yes.
Wait a minute. All eternity.
Eternity.
Let me change that. Amen. Amen. And if you don't know Him today, let me tell you something. He can bless your heart every day. He's going to be with you all the time if you'll just accept Him. Amen. The world will tell you there's many ways to heaven, but I'm here to tell you today that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't come in the back door. You know why? Because there ain't no back door. There ain't none. Anybody understand that?
That's like 19.
That's right. It's like 19. Brother, I understand why you're having the Bible study, the ladies' Bible study first. I understand that now.
Anyway.
There we
go. Let's sing a song.
You get sweeter every day, eh?
Trust him, the more I love him, nothing good for me he'll deny. The longer I know him, the better I can show him, I could stop now if I tried. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Oh, the moment he saved me, his good grace he gave me, he placed his love down deep in my heart. His great joy in knowing with him I am going, and never more from him to depart. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Days go by, days go by, days go by.
Precious little one back here loved it, I think. Look at,
yeah,
she's just so excited.
Amen. Oh boy, here we go. One of these days there's gonna be something going on in old graveyard, ain't it? A man was being buried, placed in another's grave. The men in charge saw the enemy and quickly ran away. They threw the body in the ground, it touched Elisha's bones. The dead man rose up with a shout, "Great God, what's going on?" There's something going on in the graveyard like you ain't never seen. Saints are coming up from the ground, oh, can't you hear them sing? With the resurrection power and glory all around. There's something going on in the graveyard. Saints are heaven bound. There is a day that's coming, Jesus spoke about, when all those who sleep in the ground are gonna get up and come out. The world says we've gone crazy, sometimes we feel alone. One day they're gonna cry out, "Oh God, what's going on?" There's something going on graveyard like you ain't never seen. Saints are coming up from the ground, oh, can't you hear them sing? With resurrection power and glory all around. There's something going on in the graveyard, the saints are heaven bound. There's something going on in the graveyard like you ain't never seen. Saints are coming up from the ground, oh, can't you hear them sing? With resurrection power and glory. There's something going on in the graveyard, the saints are heaven bound. There's something going on in the graveyard, ain't no grave gonna hold me down.
Ain't no grave gonna trumpet. sound. I'm gonna get up out of the ground, 'cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
There's some going on in the graveyard like you ain't never seen. Saints are coming up from the ground. Oh, can't you hear them sing? With resurrection power and glory all around. There's something going on in the graveyard. The saints are heaven bound. There's something going on in the graveyard like you ain't never seen. Saints are coming up from the ground. Oh, can't you hear them sing? With the resurrection power and glory all around. There's something going on in the graveyard. The saints are heaven bound. There's something going on in the graveyard. Ain't no grave gonna hold me down. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
The old devil thinks he's got victory when we're in the grave, don't he? Oh, Lordy. I don't know if we'll be able to see his face or not whenever those graves bust wide open, but I'd love to be able to. Amen.
I hope you know my Savior today. If you don't, I'll introduce you to him before you leave.
I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. Oh, but I know a man who can. And I can't take a soul that's sin sick, make it white, whiter than snow. Oh, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest. That no one loves you and your life is out of hand. Well, I know a man who can. Well, I can't walk upon the waters, and I can't calm a raging sea. Oh, but I know a man who can. And I can't cause blinded eyes to be open, or the lame to get up and walk again. Who can?
nothing too big for God. There ain't nothing too little for God. Everything you got, take it to Him. Just bring it to Him. This morning, I had one of my sweet friends call me. Well, they didn't call me. She texted me. I didn't hear it, but she was requesting prayer. And I saw it later, and I said, well, you know, I got to hurry up. I got to get ready. But you know what? You got to be obedient. When somebody asks you to pray for them, you need to stop and pray for them. Don't wait till later, because they need it now. And that's what we need to do as believers in Christ. We need to come together as brothers and sisters and help one another and pray for one another and lift each other up. Don't beat each other down. So I just ask you today, if you want to just please pray for us, and we'll pray for you.
We just try to be obedient and try to listen to the Lord and see which way He wants to go. And you know, we do make a list most of the time, but it rarely goes that way. So, you know, we're just kind of not trying to take a break, but I'm trying to listen.
I think God wants to do something this morning, and I don't want to get in the way. Yep. I just, for the last couple of songs, I told Larry, I said, it don't feel right. Something ain't right. Something is not. I don't know. I don't know where to. I don't know. Because when God wants to do something, we just like you just said, we got to be obedient to that.
Yes, and we can't.
Yes.
I don't think He wants us to do something just for the sake of doing something.
Amen. I agree with that.
You know.
How about that one?
Just know that this altar is open anytime, not just during the invitation.
I just feel like today is a time of worship.
Yes.
I feel like that. And everything we've sung so far is about worship. It's about, you know, the love of God being sweeter, and it's about whatever else we sang. You know, there's going to be a time when the graves are going to bust open and we're going to be with Him. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, it is.
We don't sing that, but that's a good song.
That's a good one.
But I just feel like in my spirit, maybe I need to worship Him today. Maybe I need to be reminded how great He really is and how good He's been to me.
Thank you, Lord.
And when He lets me go forward, even when I'm not where I should be. Because when we come to worship, our hearts should be prepared. Our hearts should be right. Our hearts should be pure. And maybe He's just doing a little working on me today. Because I'm human. I'm just like the rest of you. I have a life outside of this ministry. I have worries. I have fears. Not supposed to. The Bible tells us over 365 times not to worry, not to fear. But we have cares, we have concerns, just like y'all do. And maybe that's what God's telling me to do today, is to let those things go and just worship me. If that's you, let the things go. Let's just worship God today. We haven't done this song in a really long time. But even when you were speaking earlier, I heard this song, and I thought, well, we ain't done that in forever. We ain't gonna put that in the lineup. And I just keep reading this scripture back here. I've actually lost the words of a song a couple times because I keep reading that scripture back there. Can y'all see that too? Yeah. I mean, think about that. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke. God answered him with a thunder. A thunder. Think about the voice of God. That's good if you really think about it. Read it about 50 times like I have. It gets better every time. I'm trying to, like, look other places so I won't read it while I'm trying to sing a song because I'm like, well, I missed the words with Sweeter while ago. I was like, yeah, whatever they were, because I was just really focused on that. Yeah. But I just want to do this. It's an old song. It's good old hymn. You know, I love all the songs that we do. I love contemporary songs. I love stuff on the Southern Gospel. There's just something about that, those old hymns. A lot of memories hooked to those hymns for me, and I'm sure you as well if you've been in church a long time. That's okay. The Lord will give them to me, or I'll make them up one. How great thou art. Y'all know it. Y'all sing with us. If we forget them, y'all just put it in there. I think I know them. The Lord will give them to me.
You got it.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worst I hence hath made, and I see the stars, and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displays. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my bird is gladly led and bound to take away my sins. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, how great thou art.
Sing with us.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Shouts of acclamation and call, take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, God, how great thou art.
Y'all stand and
then
sing with
sings
us.
My soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Worship him today.
How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
bless you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, how sweet it is to worship our Lord. Let go. There's somebody that needs to let go of something. Let go and let God take care of it. Yes, we can't do it on our own, y'all.
I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and I wondered, how could this be that someone so guilty could now be set free? My chains were broken. I felt born again the moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. The life of the church. Whoa. That is the future, and we need to be praying for our future. We got a bad world we live in, and we need to pray for these children not to be tempted, and us adults too, not to be tempted by the things of this world, because it's a bad place. But God's got the answer. We got to let Him have it. They're having a deacon's meeting over here, I think.
Amen. So, We're still struggling. No, I know one that's not struggling. It's just us. Amen. Amen. I guess we're going to do one more for you. And it's, okay. Any, meeny, miny. No. I think you'll recognize this one. Talks about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
It was the first day of his death, since he had taken his last breath. Sorrow filled the skies, the birds stopped singing everywhere. Nothing seemed the same. The clouds began to weep the rain. It was the second day in the tomb where he lay. And Satan smiled with glee. He said, I have the victory. You said you come to save. Oh, but now you're in the grave.
Very early that third morn, before the dawn had come, demons danced around, chanting, Satan, you have won. But God in all of his greatness stood up from the throne and nodded to the angel to roll away the stone. And as the sun began to rise, he opened up his eyes. The Father turned and said, oh, my son's no longer dead. And the angels filled the sky, the heavens shout, the demons cry, as the King walks out. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to
y'all give them another hand. I didn't want to mess them up, but they was going to make me choose, didn't I walk on water if they kept looking? That's good. I got a lot of favorite songs. My mama used to say, that's my favorite song, or that's my favorite verse. I'm like, mama, that's your 1,000th favorite song. And I'm kind of the same way. I hear songs and they just stick to you. And that's the way it is. And this morning we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 25. And as we look at that, I just want us to think about what Stacy was talking about there. I mean, in our life, you know, I don't know what y'all are all going through in your life and what's going on. But a lot of times we don't want to admit that we feel like everybody's against us. We feel like we're by ourselves. We feel like, Lord, I just can't do this. But God wants you to know this morning that you're His treasured possession. And that when you call out to Him, He hears you and He answers. But my question is, when we're praying, when we're letting God know that, Lord, I'm down in the deep. Lord, I need you to pick me up. Do we think God's too busy to answer us? Do we think we're too insignificant for God to speak to us? Or do we expect to hear Him thunder? When you ask God for help, you ought to be expecting to hear thunder out of heaven. You ought to see flashes of lightning coming around you. And you ought to see your problems tremble under the footsteps of Almighty God. And know that you belong to Him. And that's what we find is happening here in chapter 19. God has delivered the Israelites out of the bondage of Egypt. He's kept His promises to Abraham that even though they would be there enslaved for 430 years, He'd make a people that was not a people into a people, and He would claim them as His own possession. And now it says in verse 1, in the third month, this means to this day, it means on the 14th day, when God instituted the Passover supper, He said, y'all change your calendar, something new's happening. This will be the first day of the year for y'all from now on, the 14th. And now it says on the third month. So 2 months have passed here as they've been traveling, and this is the beginning of the third month. It's on the 14th day. And it says the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt on that very day, and they came into the wilderness of Sinai. So they're in the peninsula, the wilderness there of Mount Sinai. And verse 2 says, when they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, and they camped in the wilderness. And there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the sons of Israel. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning and ask for the next few minutes here, Lord, that you would guide, direct us, that you would move us through this passage. We would see your holiness, your greatness. Lord, we'd see what it means to belong to the Most High God, to be the pupil of His eye. Lord, to be mounted up on wings, that, Lord, you protect us, you provide for us. Lord, you guide us and you lift us to new heights. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, I want you to think about riding on the wings of the eagle this morning as God invites us to enjoy being His possession. This idea of possession here, it says own possession. The idea of being God's possession or His own possession, this word is used here and it's used in Chronicles. It's used also in 2 Chronicles where David has been told that he's not going to build the tabernacle or the temple, but he's going to furnish everything for it. So David, King David, he brings everything together that God has blessed him with. He lines people up to give their offerings, to give the things needed to build the temple. And then when David gets done, everything's ready for his son to build it. It says this in verse 3 of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Moreover, in my delight, David says, in my delight in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, I give to the house of my God over and above all that I have already provided to His holy name. Here's what David's saying. I've done give everything God wanted me to give. He's got it all. I'm ready to go. We're going to get this temple built. I'm not going to see it. My son's going to do it. But guess what? I got to thinking about this, and I'm so happy with my God. I got some treasures. I got some things that mean so much to me that I just want to bring my own stuff out and give it to my God. When was the last time you come before God and said, Lord, I've given you everything, but guess what? I've been holding something back. It really means a lot to me. Matter of fact, this is my most precious possession, and I'm going to give it to you. You know what? You're so valuable to God that that's what he did. He didn't spare his own son. She's saying, I can hardly take that. And can you imagine that God loved us so much that in our worst state that he gave his most prized possession, and you're saved not with blood of bulls and goats, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been brought with a precious price to be brought into the kingdom of God as a priesthood of believers to serve God. And this is what God is saying here. He says, look, I want you to know what it means. I want you to learn to enjoy being my prized possession. First of all, God invites us to enjoy being his treasured possession and when he brings us out of our old life. He says here to Moses, when Moses come out and they camped in front of the mountain, Moses went up to God. Now, I want you to get this. In chapter 3 of Exodus, when this began with Moses and the children of Israel, God comes to Moses in a burning bush. Moses is taking care of the flocks. He looks over there at the mount, at the foot of the mountain of Sinai, where he's in the plains there. He's grazing the sheep. He sees the bush burning. He says, what is this thing? It's burning. It's not burning up. What's going on? He goes over. As he gets close, God stops him and he says, pause, stop. Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. Not because the ground was holy, but because God's presence was there. God was holy. God was mighty. And he tells him, I've heard my people in their affliction. I've heard them cry out to me. God is thundering forth here to Moses. Hey, I'm going to use you to deliver them. I'm going to send you to Egypt. You're going to deliver them. And then in verse 12, he says this. And this shall be a sign for you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. I want you to see what's going on. Moses has been there. He's spoken. The 10 plagues have happened. The Passover's happened. He's led the people out. They were chased. He led them through the Red Sea. The Red Sea closed on all the enemies behind them, destroyed them all. They got out there. They didn't have any water. Threw a log in the water. It becomes sweet. They didn't have nothing to eat, so God gave meat to eat. He made them some bread out of manna, come up out of the ground. He fed them. Then they didn't have no water. They went to grumbling again. He told Moses, strike the rock, so he gave them more water. Then they run into some enemies. God defeated the enemies, the Amalek. He defeated them, and now he's brought them out. And Moses, have you ever wondered, is God really saving me? Is God really with me? Is God really working with me? Think about it. Moses gets the people right there and he says, oh, God told me, you obey, I'm going to bring you right back here and you're going to come up on this mountain and worship. I see Moses now running up the hill. And in this passage, he goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Because God's got him interceding for the people. God is telling him what to say. I want you to remember this morning that God will lift us up like an eagle lifts up their young on his wings. He'll pick us up. He says here, and he's already gave him this sign that you will come back here, you will worship. And so when he goes up, he tells him, say to the house of Jacob and to the sons of Israel. I don't know if y'all remember this. Jacob had a checkered past. Any of y'all got a checkered past? But he bumped into God one night and they fought all night. And he says, I'm not turning you loose till you bless me. So God broke his hip. Now, when he got there to the creek, before he crossed it, he was worried about fighting his brother. And then God breaks his hip and he leaves limping and he goes on out there and he's not afraid no more. Have y'all ever got that? Did you know it's better to be with God and have a limp than be all everything you are by yourself? And so what he's saying here, when he says, I want y'all to know, Jacob, before I delivered him, And then as you sung, when mercy walked in, I changed his name to Israel. I have met with God face to face. So he says, I want you to go down, tell the ones that's still doubting, tell the ones that don't think I can do it, tell the ones that might not understand yet that guess what, one day they're going to be over here. So whether you're saved this morning or not saved, whether you're doubting this morning, it's the difference between doubt and unbelief. I don't have time to preach that. But doubt just means, Lord, I just don't see how this is going to work out. Unbelief says God can't do it. I believe God can do anything. Now, some days I drag my feet and don't get up quick enough because I ain't asking God to help me. Bad English there. Because I haven't asked God to help me. Thank y'all. As we look at this, he says, look, I want you to go down and tell them that you've seen what I've done to the Egyptians. God wants you to know this morning, whatever you've been trapped in, whatever you were trapped in, God delivered you from that when he saved you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever's going on in your life this morning, God can take care of that too. There's nothing that's got you trapped, tied up, bent over, or nailed down that God can't lift you up above. And he says here, he says, now I want you to encourage these people because I'm fixing to make them not only into a nation, but a priesthood of believers. And he lifts them up here and he says, you go down and tell them, remember where I brought you from. Remember what I did to your enemies, to the Egyptians. Remember how I fed you, how I clothed you. Then look. And how I bore you on eagle wings and brought you to myself. An eagle, I don't know that much about birds. I told them at the cowboy church the other night, there was a big bald eagle, and I actually saw another one this week way out in the country. But the other morning I was coming along, and cars just started going everywhere. And I'm like, well, this is going to be a bad wreck. And I'm trying to stop. And then I realized there's an eagle sitting right beside the road up here where this cotton had been cut. And they had sowed some cover crop on it. And that eagle was just sitting there and everybody was stopped looking at him. He was huge. I don't know that much about eagles, but I do know they stir up their nest after the young has been in there for a long time. And they kick them out to teach them to fly. And then they swoop down under them and they spread out their wings. So with the babies, if they start to fly, fall, they lift them up. In places in the Bible it says on their pinions. But it's talking about their wings. They support them. They lift them up to new heights. God says, look, I want you to remember where I brought you from. I brought you out of your old life. That old person has passed away, and I'm going to lift you into new heights. You're going places you ain't been. You're going to see things you hadn't seen. Guess what? Your best day without Christ is nothing compared to your worst day with Christ. He says, I'm going to lift you up. All you got to do is expect to hear thunder when you ask me for help. He says, look. He says, I brought you to myself. This idea, just before Moses dies, he says this in verse 10 of chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. He's giving them this law. He's giving them this again. He says that he found him in a desert. He's talking about Abraham in a howling waste of wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. I mean, I used to saw all the time before I knew you're supposed to wear safety glasses. Matter of fact, I don't even know if they made safety glasses back when I was doing carpentry work when I was young. And I always was blinking because you'd see a piece of sawdust coming out of the skill saw. You protect in your eye. Let me tell you how valuable you are to God. Moses says right here, that just as you protect the pupil of your eye from something getting in it, God protects each of you. And one translation says he's the you're the apple of his eye. It's talking about it's his prized possession. He's protected it. God will take care of you. God will deliver you. He goes on to say in verse 11, like an eagle stirs up the nest that hovers over the young, he spreads his wings and caught him and carried him. When we get saved, guess what? We fix to go on the ride of our life. God's going to take us places that we ain't been, places we can't imagine. And we need to expect to go through this, to understand this. And then he says in verse 5, now then, I know y'all don't like them if clauses. That means y'all got to do something now. God's been doing everything so far. God says, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession. And this word own, I didn't explain to you, that means treasured possession among all the people. And then he says, because all of creation or all the earth is mine. This is the first place we see in the Bible where God declares there's no other God. If we go back over into Deuteronomy when Moses is talking about it, he's talking about God defeated all the false gods in Egypt. And we preached through that when we was going through the plagues. God says there's no other God. I watched a thing the other day because I was wanting to find out about this business that supported something, and the woman was talking about the religious people that was protesting as they was going about it, and the lady said this. She said, I have nothing against religion. Religion's good, but those folks did not have the right to tell us we're sinners. They ought to tell us how much God loves us. That God loves us being ourselves. Well, guess what? You cannot separate God's love and God's holiness from each other. God is holy. He loves us enough to send his son to die for us so we can be cleansed and be holy to come into his presence. This is what he says. I've lifted you up on my wings to draw you to myself. We was separated from God. We had no way to come into God's presence. And God provided a way. And he's going to teach the Israelites here about sacrifices, about how bad sin is, what it means to cover sin, to forgive sin, to point them forward to Christ coming so they'll know that Christ's blood cleanses us from all evil and Christ's blood makes us righteous before a holy God so that we can come into his presence. He says here that you will obey my voice, my covenant. All the earth is mine, and out of all the earth I chose you. I know sometimes, because I'm the same way, you got them mornings, you get up and you think, Lord, I got down here on my knees to pray, but I feel like I just could crawl under the bed and stay here all day. You ever been there? That's when you need to remember what God said. Out of all of God's creation, I chose you. I chose you. I chose you. You're mine, and I'm going to take care of you. That's what he's teaching the Israelites. And he says, but here, if you're going to enjoy being my treasured possession, I'm going to start giving you some rules to live by, because why? That's where you're going to find the most enjoyment. You say, well, if you're a Christian, it's no fun, because God tells us all this stuff not to do. God tells you not to hurt yourself. Amen. We can do some stupid things. The other morning, I was being a good husband, cooked my wife some pancakes. She liked pancakes. I cooked her some fresh country sausage, and I like to keep the grease from splattering, so I use Bounty paper towels, and I'll soak up some of the grease. Well, I was going to take the paper towel to the trash can. Now, it went to drip. I did not want it on the floor. Genius here caught it in his hand, the grease. Not too bright. Same thing with sin. We do things that's not smart. God gives us rules so that we know to enjoy him better. Did I know not to do that? Yep. Did I do it anyway? Yep. Do I need reminding again? Nope. God gives us rules to remind us that he is holy. We are not. And there's nothing we can do to come into his presence without his help. And he's delivered them out of their old life, out of their old ways. He didn't give them any rules till he saved them, till he lifted them up, till he brought them into new heights. And now he's starting to prepare them for holiness so they can come into his presence. He says in verse 6, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests. In other words, God is restoring his kingdom, his rule on earth through the Israelites, who will bless all the nations of the earth, through whom Jesus, the Messiah, will come. He says, I'm making you a kingdom of priests. You'll be able to minister not only to God, but to one another. They didn't really understand what this meant yet. Peter later, to tie this to today, says this about us. Peter says that you, being a believer in Christ, a spiritual heir to the promises made to Abraham, according to Galatians 3, verse 6. Here, Peter says, But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. For you, that means Hunt Springs, were not a people, but now you are a people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He's telling the Israelites that I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests. You'll be able to minister to one another and to God. This is before he sets up the priesthood of Levi. And one reason for this, all the Israelites, I'll just give y'all, I'll fast forward a little bit. Guess what? They messed up. They made some mistakes. And so he narrowed it down to one family. The descendants of Levi would be the priest. But that was the point forward, so we'd understand, and I might not have time to get to Hebrews to show you this, but in Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 9, and then again in chapter 12, it tells us that Christ is our high priest. Guess what? Jesus, I've always said this, lived the life we should have lived. He never sinned. He is the perfect sacrifice, the perfect priest. He intercedes for us perfectly. This was to show us that, guess what? I don't care who you trust in, they'll let you down except for Jesus Christ. And I'm fast forwarding, so you understand this means something for us today. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, Paul said this stuff is given to us as an example so we would understand the failures of the Israelites and how Christ fulfills everything. And if we trust in Christ, guess what? His righteousness is applied to us. He said, you're going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know, we get upset because America's going the wrong way. I wouldn't say so much it's going the wrong way as it's just run off the tracks completely. But anyway, think about this. As God's people, we are a holy nation living in this nation so we can show America what God can do with the people he's chosen. We are to be witnesses for him. And when he says a kingdom of priests, Miss Wendy touched on this morning. And Dr. Carson used to tell me the same thing all the time. When somebody asks you to pray, you're not too busy. Stop and pray for them right now. God has given you the gift to be a priest to them, to intercede between God and them. And you say, well, I thought they could intercede for themselves. They can, but it don't hurt for us to intercede for them either. Why? We need to practice praying, and they need to help. And plus, we're being more like Christ. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God interceding for us. And when we intercede, we're trusting Christ that Christ is using us to be his hands and feet on earth to pray for other people. When we see other people not doing what we want, my first thing is get a stick. Straighten them out. But what we got to do is keep praying for them. I was praying for somebody to be here today, and I don't see them unless they're in the parking lot. Pretty sure they ain't. But all I can do is keep praying. But, you know, last week I really did think, oh, I just ought to quit praying. And I was like, well, God, I know that ain't right. Forgive me. We can intercede. And God says, I'm going to teach y'all to intercede for all the families on the earth. And through Christ, we as believers, we get to intercede to all these. So God prepares us for that holiness. So how does he prepare us? We got to obey his word. And then he tells Moses in verse 7, so Moses come and called all the elders and all of the people and set before them the words which the Lord had commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, all the Lord has spoken to us, we will do. And Moses brought word back to the Lord. Now, have you ever done that? Whatever the Lord says for me to do, I'm going to do. A lot of us do that on Sunday, don't we? And then we get up Monday morning and go, Lord, I didn't know you was going to ask me to do that. They've committed to something here and they haven't got the rules yet. But Moses goes and he tells God, and all the people answered together, we'll do this. Then the Lord says to Moses, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever. Then Moses told the words to the people. So the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. When it talks about washing garments, that's kind of like what our mother and our grandmothers and all told us, to shine your shoes, put on your Sunday clothes, look your best, whatever you got, make sure it's clean to go to church. And that's the idea of saying, hey, I don't want just my clothes clean. I want my spirit. I want my character clean. God tells us to put on our best. It don't matter if it's a suit or a cowboy suit or baseball clothes or whatever it is, your best. When you put that on, that is to remind you that the reason I'm dressed like this morning is because I need to get my heart right before I come into the presence of God. That's why we spruce up. And I know y'all thought, no, that's because I want everybody to look at me. No, that won't it. And he tells them, he says, get them ready or consecrate them. Because why? They're going to come into the presence of the holy, only God, verse 11, and let them be ready on the third day. And I'm going to come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set boundaries for the people around, saying, beware that you don't go up to the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. In the holiness of God, sin cannot enter into the presence of God because it'll just what? He says, oh, they won't even be struck by the hand. They'll be either stoned because I don't want the other people touching them, or they'll be shot through with an arrow from a distance is what God says here. You set the boundaries for man and beast so they understand how holy I am. We've got to understand that God is our friend, God does love us, but God is still holy. He's Almighty God. He's the only God. He is separated from us. That's why He is holy, and it's nobody like God. And if we're going to come into His presence, we've got to be cleansed from all defilement, all unrighteousness. And the only way to do that is by the blood of Christ. And here He's going to teach them how serious this is by all the sacrifices they have to do over and over. But later He says that Christ gave the perfect sacrifice once for all, so there's no more sacrifices if we believe in Christ. Christ's sacrifice was for everything we've ever done or everything we will do. And you say, well, how do you know that? They sung about it because He was buried. And on the third day, God raised Him from the dead to show that he had accepted the sacrifice that Christ gave for our sins. He is the perfect sacrifice according to the book of Hebrews. So He tells them to go down, realize how holy I am. I'm preparing you for this. So Moses went down the mountain to the people. He consecrated the people. They washed their garments. They stayed clean. They stayed separate from one another sexually until the third day. And so it came about on the third day when it was morning that there was thunder and lightning in heaven. A thick cloud came upon the mountain, and at the very loud trumpet sound, so that the people who were camped, they trembled. When was the last time you come into church, and when you got in the parking lot, started in here, you expected to hear the thunder and the lightning, and you expected to tremble, and expected to see this place filled with the presence of God, like Isaiah, when Isaiah said the threshold of the temple shook when I walked across it. When was the last time me or anybody else you expected to go to preaching, and when you're praying that morning, you said, God, when the preacher opens the Bible, I want to feel the breath of the Holy Spirit run across. I want it just to make me tremble. I want it to make me just know that I'm in the hands of a jealous God who loves me so much He don't want me worshiping nothing else today. See, this is what He's going to be teaching them through chapter 24 of Exodus here. But right now, He's saying, all I want you to do is know that I hear you and what I say is true. When He talks about His word that He is speaking, He spoke everything into being in the beginning. And now He's speaking this new kingdom of people and priests into being. That's why we follow God's word, because in God's word we are being created into new creatures. The old is passing away. And here, as they trembled before the people, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, He kicked them out to the east, and the angel with a flaming sword of a tongue stood there with flaming fire to keep them from coming back into the presence of a holy God. Do you see where this fire is coming from? Everything that had separated them, all of a sudden God says, I got a way for y'all to come back. I'm mounting you up on my wings. I'm bringing you back to myself. And it says smoke went up. In Genesis, when He makes the covenant with Abraham, their forefather, that it said that the smoke of the furnace is where that covenant was made when God walked between the bull that was cut in half. And this is the idea of all those promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. All those promises are being fulfilled right now. And I'm making y'all into this people that I promised Abraham. And look, here's the new rules. Here's how you're going to live. Why? So you can enjoy being blessed by me. And it goes on to say here that the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, and Moses spoke and God answered him with thunder. I've got to close. I wanted to get through more of this, but I want you to see how this ties to something right here in Mark chapter 9. God's told Moses that when the people hear him speak with thunder and speak directly to the people and directly to Moses, that the people will know to listen to Moses, to obey Moses. This is what he's told Moses a few verses earlier. Now, in chapter 9 of Mark, Jesus is with the disciples, and he takes Peter, James, and John. He brings them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he's transfigured before them, and his garments become radiant. These washed garments that he was just talking about, they become exceedingly white as no launderer on earth could whiten them. And then Elijah appeared. Now Moses tells them just before he dies, I'm fast forwarding a little bit, that God will raise up from the brethren a prophet greater than I. And you'll listen to him. When Jesus comes on the scene, they thought Elijah was the greatest prophet ever. And here Elijah appears along with Moses, and they're talking to Jesus. Can you imagine this? Peter, James, and John. And you up on the mountain, and all of a sudden Christ is transformed in all his glory before you. And there's Moses, and there's Elijah, and they're talking about what Christ is fixing to do at the cross and how Christ is going to come back and how Christ is going to save us. And when they're talking all about this, you know, Peter, he cannot be quiet. Peter says, Rabbi, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I love this. For he did not know what to answer, for they became terrified. Then the cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice come out of heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to this. Listen to him. You know why we listen to Jesus? Because God spoke so that we would know. If we listen to Jesus, we'll enjoy being God's treasured possession. And look what happens to Peter, James, and John. It says, and all at once they looked around, and no one was with them anymore but Jesus alone. You know what that means? When you open up your Bible in the index and start reading, when you get to Matthew and Jesus is born, everything it's been talking about has got a name, and it's Jesus. And God says, if you want me to ride you on my wings and bring you to myself, if you want to know what it means to be my treasured possession, you do what Jesus says. Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you that you not only deliver us from our old self, Lord, you lift us up to new heights. And I pray everyone here this morning would commit to following you, to coming closer to you. Lord, that they would trust you to prepare us for your holiness. And Lord, that you would draw us to yourself. Right now, Lord, on this Sunday, and Lord, keep us close so on Monday we'll keep our promises to obey you. If it's anybody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, if it's anybody here that thinks, well, you don't know what I've done, preacher, I've done too many things to be forgiven. Jesus lived a perfect life, and he died to death for us. And because of that, he can forgive you and give you a new life. He can lift you up to new heights. He can prepare you to stand in the presence of God, holy and blameless. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for my sins. I know you are sinless. I believe you was buried and I know you was raised so I can know for sure that I'm forgiven. Please forgive me and prepare me to be pleasing to you. If you've prayed that this morning, raise your hand. Amen. If you've prayed that and you meant it with all your heart, you're saved and God's going to lift you up above things that you think that you can't be delivered from. If you're here and you're a Christian and you've been a Christian a long time, my question for you this morning is, are you expecting to hear God when you call out to Him answer you in thunder? Are you expecting for the heavens to thunder and lightning to flash and the mountains to shake and smoke to fill the area around you in the presence of God? God says, obey and you can enjoy being in my presence. Kind Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. This morning, I just want to encourage you as they're coming to enjoy being God's treasured possession. To enjoy being God's treasured possession is like riding on the wings of an eagle. Can you imagine when Isaiah said that he would just lift us up, give us new strength? And we do that by remembering that God saves us from our old self. Hey, our old self doesn't live here anymore. God teaches us to obey so that we can abide in His holiness. The reason God gives us rules to obey is so that we can be holy and be in His presence. And God promises that if we obey and live life that is pleasing to Him, He will bless our obedience. When we do this, we can enjoy God lifting us to new heights. I don't know what went on last week. I don't know where you're at. But guess what? God can take you to places that you've never been. You just have to decide today, will you soar with the eagles or will you walk with the turkeys?
Yes.
To care.
You can consider the lilies, even consider the most beautiful thing you've ever seen on the earth. Consider the thing that you consider most precious. And just remember, God said that out of everything I created, you are my treasured possession. I loved you enough to die for you so I could bring you into my presence. Whatever you're going through, God will lift you up on his wings so you can ride on his protection, his provision. In Luke's gospel, Luke says that when one sinner repents, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. And you say, so the angels are celebrating? No, they're hearing God celebrate because he's just brought one of his sons or daughters to him. This morning, Miss Billy come and ask Christ to forgive her. Ask Christ to be her Savior, that she could enjoy from now on living a life that's pleasing to him and enjoy being his prized possession. Seth come wanting to take up his cross and follow Christ wherever he leads. You know, it takes a lot of courage for somebody that's already saved to say, Lord, I'm saved, but I've not been living the way you want me to. When they do that, God says, I'm going to lift you up. Whatever's been holding you down, I'll pick you up out of it. David says, Lord, my feet are stuck in miry clay. And then he says, God rescued me and pulled my feet out of that miry clay. David later in Psalm 27, or back in Psalm 27, says that when my Lord lifts me up above my enemies, that my head's above my enemies, he says, then I will shout joyful in the tent of my Lord or in his tabernacle. We need to praise God when he raises us up and tell other people where we've been. We're closing now, and I'm going to ask Miss Billy, I'm going to let her stay there so she doesn't have to stand, but I'm going to ask you to come by and congratulate her and congratulate Seth for rededicating his life to the Lord. And y'all pray for one another this week. And remember, we are a priesthood of believers, and part of that is not only praying to God but praying for one another. We want to thank Potter's people for being here today. And we want to pray for them and their new project they're doing and keep them lifted up in that also. And I'm going to ask Pastor James if he'll close us in prayer.